Proverbs 31, I'm not going to ask you to stand tonight. I'm not going to be reading a text verse and then preaching from it. But rather, we've had a series going on the family, and we dealt with men, then women, and then a couple of Wednesday nights on marriage itself. But I want to go back tonight. I told you when we covered women before, I told you I didn't really feel like I'd done that justice. And so I'm going to take from a different place in the Scriptures, Proverbs 31, and we'll look more at, or more closely at, a woman's role. In other words, what God had planned for women. Now, we as we look into this tonight, of course, we looked last time in Genesis, and I'm not going to dive back into that. I'm just going to look at this virtuous woman. You've probably heard this preached a lot on Mother's Days throughout the years. It's a pretty common place to preach from. But I want to look at the example that's set for us here of a virtuous woman. And I want this to be a help to you. After we get through, I'll go through all of this, starting in verse 10 and reading on through verse 31. And then after we get through with this, I want to look at a couple of the dangers of not following after this pattern. And this world does not care for the things of God, never has. And so a lot of the teachings of this world run counter to what the Bible says about the way men and women are supposed to act and what their duties are and everything else. So I want to cover, when we get done with this, a couple of the dangers we find in Scriptures of not following after this. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" The rest of this chapter is about a virtuous woman. This is, if you want to look for the ideal woman, according to Scriptures, this is it. If you want something to pattern yourself after, this is it. You know, if a lady were to pick her hero, I would advise her to pick this lady. This is the ideal woman. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Now, in Bible times, when they wrote this, the ruby was actually the most valuable jewel out there. Diamonds were not considered to be more valuable until the 20th century, by the way. And if they would let loose all the diamonds that are actually available, they wouldn't be worth anything even now. Rubies are more valuable. So her price is far above rubies. Verses 11 and 12 are going to talk about really the core of the character of this virtuous woman. Now, it speaks of her in context of marriage. But before marriage, after a woman is widowed, if she's never been married, still, this is the character, the core of the character of the ideal woman. It says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." That is a huge statement. The heart of her husband. That's everything he is. He safely trusts in her. Not only does he trust in her, but he's safe in doing so. She is perfectly trustworthy. Do you get that? She's trustworthy. So the very first thing you come up to with the ideal woman is that she is trustworthy, not just with a dollar bill, but with a heart. Okay, that's a big deal. She can be trusted. "So that he shall have no need of spoil. Says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." And again, ladies, if you want to try to look for something, particularly in your marriage, if you want to look for a goal to set, if you want to look for that person to be, these two verses really sum it up well. And we're going to go on, but does anybody have any comments on this? All right, we're going to go on verses 13 through 19. We're going to see a common theme. All of these verses have to do with work. Work. It says, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." Remember that clothes weren't bought off a rack all the time back in those times, but rather somebody would take wool or flax and they would spin it and make thread. Make the cloth themselves, measure, cut, sew, everything involved with making the cloth, making clothes. And you see a lot of that in here. And it's telling you that this woman was involved in it from the very first. She's a worker, is what I'm telling you. "She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar." So she knows how to shop. She knows she has wisdom in being able to take care of her home. Do you understand? She's able to go out and she has discretion in being able to take care of things at home. She says she brings him food from afar. It means that she knows how to go out and find the things that are needed and bring them to her house. She's a homemaker. She's a worker and she knows how to keep a home. This is the ideal woman. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She feeds her own house. She feeds her own house. This speaks to a woman who knows how to, well, knows how to cook. Knows how to get food and knows how to get food on the table without ordering it from a Chinese restaurant. I mean, to put it in today's terms. She knows how to take care of her house. She's a worker. She knows how to go out and get food. She knows how to make food. She knows how to take and make that house a home. She's a worker. 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. It speaks to her ability to go out and plant, also to go, and she has wisdom and knowing again how to take care of the home. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And I keep going back to this. She is a worker. A worker. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She perceives her merchandise is good. In other words, she's got an eye to make things good. Her candle goeth not out by night. In verse 15, it is said, she riseth also when it is yet night. There's an old saying that used to go around. It said, a man's work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. And what that saying was talking about was this that's spoken of in the Bible. The fact that this virtuous woman is constantly about her house, constantly tending her home. She's constantly about her duties. She's a worker. Remember, that's what I said with men. The biggest thing with men is work. Well, it's really the same thing with ladies. Work is what we're put here for. We all have work to do. In verse 19 says, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. Again, that speaks to weaving or it speaks to spinning cloth. In other words, she's constantly involved in taking care of the house, even in clothing. It's talked about food and clothing so far. And so all these 13 through 19 have to do with the work of a woman. And the work of a woman, you'll see, has to do with taking care of the home. This is a big deal. In today's world, this is not what's taught. Instead, we have take your daughters to work day with the whole intention of whatever you do, raise your daughters to not be a homemaker. As a matter of fact, if you say my mother was a homemaker, there are people who will turn up their nose at you. And that's unfortunate because that's where, as we'll see, that God intended for the woman, it says, to guide the home. And Paul said that. And that word guide means rule the home. In other words, she's supposed to take care of that home. That's her domain. And I don't know. I feel like that when I say things like this, I feel like I'm trying to sweep the ocean back sometimes. You know, I'm trying to swim against the stream. And I realize that. But there's a lot in this. A woman is naturally endowed by God with the ability to take care of a home more so than a man. It's just that way. And the virtuous woman puts her hand to the work that God gives her, just like a virtuous man would to the work that God gives him. So that's where we're at in 13 through 19. By the way, men in Sunday school, you'll remember where we covered. I wasn't going to go here, but I guess I'll turn here real quickly. In 1 Timothy, we had just covered who the church is supposed to take care of as far as widows. And you remember Paul said, it was in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. It said in verse 9, let not a widow be taken in the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, etc. and so forth. But in verse 11, but the younger widows refused, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they've cast off the first faith. Here goes in verse 13. And withal they learn to be idle. Idle. He's saying the reason that the church doesn't take care of a 30-year-old widow and put her on a handout is because it'll teach her to be idle. And from there, he says, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. There's something about being idle that brings out the worst in us, man or woman. And there's something about a man that won't work, or a woman that doesn't need to work, or doesn't think she needs to work around her own home, that brings out the worst in us. And so, I believe we ought to put our hands to the work God gives us. Okay. As far as that wandering about house to house and tattlers, that's talking about gossips. You don't have to physically walk next door anymore. All you have to do is pick up your phone and turn on Facebook. And you can gossip all over the world. And so, idle time is an enemy here. Just like it was for men, it is for women. Any comments on that before we go on to verse 20? Verse 20, we're going to see, 20 through 23, we're going to see this virtuous woman. Not only is she a worker, but we're going to see her spirit come out here. Verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. See, we see something about her goodness here. Something about her mercy. Something about her character and her spirit here. Although she's a worker, she's not a bitter, hard-edged person. You see that she gives to the needy. She takes care of the poor. It says in verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now that word scarlet usually speaks to fine clothes. But it's also, I went back and looked this up, it's somewhat of a... it also somewhat means double clothes. In other words, they're clothed well. Whether it be talking about the nature of the cloth or the manner of the sewing, she has taken care of her household. At a time when the women of the house made the cloth, cut the pattern, sewed it, and did all of that, she's taken care of her business. She can give to the poor and the needy because she's already taken care of her house. You follow that? It says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's able to take care of herself very well on her clothes. Why? Because she took care of her household. She's able to take care of others. And she dresses herself well too. In verse 23, says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. That's a verse worth circling. There's another old saying that I heard all my life, and you've probably heard. It says, behind every good man is a good woman. That's what this verse is telling you. If there's a man who seems like that he can go about his business and everything seems well, and he's not constantly falling apart or chasing emergencies, it's because his wife at home is taking care of the home. And he's able to go out and take care of business. Her husband's known in the gates because of her. Do you understand that? It's the glory of a virtuous woman that her family does well. And this is where it really brings it out. A virtuous woman has a supporting role. Now that's tough. But I'm going to tell you, the supporting role is the hardest role. The supporting role, if you've ever worked around, if you've ever been if you've ever been a straw boss, a number two guy for the big boss, the number two guy works harder than the number one guy a lot of times. The supporting role is tough, and this is what God's given the women, and it's a hard job. And the virtuous woman is known for that job. Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I don't move on. Verse 24. I came to this verse. I'm going to read it. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. I couldn't figure out why this verse is in this place. What I came down to is this. On top of all of this, we'll get verse 24. It caps it off. On top of the fact that she works all around the house for her household. See, everything we saw before that was what she did for her household. On top of all that, she's still able to turn around and make a little money for the household. Basically, it says that she can do it all if she needs to. The Bible does not limit what women can do any more than it limits what men can do. What it does is it tells us what our primary job is. It tells us what we're supposed to do. Lydia, you'll remember, who was converted at, was that at Philippi? I believe it was. Was a seller of purple. In other words, she was a merchant. Women are able to be productive in the marketplace if it doesn't interfere with the home. Does that make sense to you? And this virtuous woman here, besides taking care of her home, was still able to be active in the marketplace. On top of all of that, and what I tell people is, first off, if the home isn't taken care of, that's got to be taken care of first. Has to. Should a woman work outside the home? If she's got children at home, I would advise her to take care of the children at home if she's able to. If the couple's able to do that without going broke, without going under, I would advise them to do that. Because the home's the most important thing. But the virtuous woman knows her way around guiding the home and does know how to make her way in this world if she has to. Verse 25, now we're going to come to the character of this virtuous woman. It says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. There's two things. 25, strength and honor are her clothing. Now, earlier we saw her clothing in verse 22. Verse 22 spoke of her natural clothing. But verse 25 is not talking about her natural clothing, is it? Read it. Strength and honor. That's not natural clothing. Strength and honor are her covering, her protection. That's what you see about her. She's clothed with strength and honor. She shall rejoice in time to come. I underlined in time to come a long time ago. A woman's reward is usually not today. Right now, and when Sister Viola's teaching Bryson, right now, your reward's not going to be today. And you know that well. It's not your first time through. A man's reward is often more immediate. When he goes to work, he'll get a paycheck usually that week. You know, it's more of an immediate reward. A woman's reward is often delayed. It comes in time to come. When is a woman rewarded for raising her children right? Later, when they're adults, or even when they're parents. You know, it's a delayed reward. When is a woman rewarded for working so hard at her marriage? Well, at that 25th or that 50th anniversary or something like that, her rewards come later. Do you follow that? That's one of the most difficult things that I can see about the woman's role. Now, obviously, I'm looking at it from the outside. But the fact that you don't get to see the rewards the same day you put in the work. But what makes a virtuous woman is the fact she knows that. She knows that and does the work anyhow. It says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Again, all of this for the remainder of this, or at least for the next few verses, speak to her character. Her character. She's not bitter. She's kind. Also, you see that wisdom? Can I tell you that if you're going to run a house, it'll make you wise. You'll learn some things. If you're going to take care of all of these responsibilities, you're going to learn a lot of things. And so that this work that the woman is putting in is going to teach her a lot. And a woman can become very wise at people. As a matter of fact, usually around a church, we always talk about the little old ladies, sweet little old ladies. Of course, it depends on where you go. They're not always sweet, they're not always little, they're not always old. But a lot of times the older women are the ones who have wisdom through the years because of taking care of these responsibilities. It grows wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. There it is again. It's a working job. Now we see her blessings begin in verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. There's the reward. There's the first reward really mentioned. As her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Some men are more thorny than others. You know, and I've seen some men who spoke well of their wife, I guess from the time they were in their 20s, as long as I knew them. And I've seen other men that didn't learn to speak well of their wife right off the bat. It's unfortunate. But over time, ma'am, he'll speak better and better of you. No matter where he starts from, over time you will. And men, let me pass this out to you. Don't wait. Try to speak well of your wife from the very get-go and just learn to get better at it. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. That verse is why I say that this is the perfect pattern. If a woman looked for a goal on who to meet and where to go to. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. That favor that it's talking about is that graciousness, good manners. You can fake that. There are people who seem like they're so nice and so kind and so gracious and so mannerly who are deceitful about it. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. I don't care how beautiful a woman is when she's 20 years old. If she lives 30 more years, she'll be 50. And if she lives 30 more years, she'll be 80. And if she lives 30 more years, whatever she looks like, she ain't going to look like she did when she was 20. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This verse really is to the men. If a man is on the lookout to find a mate, this is the verse I would give him. Favor is deceitful. No matter how she acts, no matter how gracious she seems to act, no matter how pretty she is, look for a woman that fears the Lord. And that's what this verse says. And so really, if you get down to the heart of it, fear the Lord is again the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Fear the Lord. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now this is the virtuous woman. I believe it's the perfect pattern for everything a woman should strive to be. And again, it's a working role. Now I've got a couple other places to go, but again, I'm not trying to preach to you tonight. I'm just trying to teach you out of the Scriptures. Does anybody have any comments on this? Has anybody heard that preached on Mother's Day? Like 100 times? That's probably the most common Mother's Day sermon in the Bible. It's with good reason. It's probably the most complete description of a good woman that I know of in the Bible. There's lots of other places we could look, but we haven't looked there. What I said I wanted to do was give two reasons why this is so important out of the Scriptures. I'm going to turn to Amos. We just were over here the other day, Amos chapter 4. And so it's still on my mind. In Amos chapter 4, what I'm going to look at is two examples where women are away from the pattern God set. And what happens then at that point in time? In other words, just like if a man rebels against God and refuses to work, so let them that will not work not eat. What happens if a woman refuses this that God set before? Chapter 4 of Amos, Amos said, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan. Kine is the plural of cow. Not bull, cow. He's specifically speaking to the women of Bashan. Not only that, he's calling them fat, indulgent, and lazy. This is intentionally very insulting. It's that way intentionally. It said, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to their masters, bring and let us drink. These were the women who were the wives of the powerful rulers, and cared nothing about the people that they were ruling over, but just wanted more, more, and more, and more for themselves. Spoiled and idle. an idol. Now, this is what this world says a woman should strive to be. Pampered, idle, with her man bringing her everything while she does nothing. That is what this world puts on a pedestal. But here, and that was going on, and you know, there's nothing new under the sun. There have been times of riches before, and here in one of those times, Amos said, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to their masters, bring and let us drink. Now here's what he said would happen. The Lord God has sworn by His holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you, and He will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. The Assyrians, when they conquered Israel, literally would run a string of fish hooks through the nose of the captives and bring them out, because they wasn't going to run off too easy. And he's prophesying what did happen. It says, and ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. And they did drag them out of the breaches in the walls. There's a big curse on being that spoiled little princess that refuses to work or do the work of a woman. Now, this is in the natural. Now, if God didn't like it then, He certainly doesn't like it now. Will the same thing happen? I don't know. I don't try to predict the future. It's not given to me to do. But I do know that the same God who hated it then hates it now. Idleness is hated in men and women. And so here we see that the rich, spoiled women were just as grievous to God as those rich, lazy men. And so we see in the next place is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because there I covered the physical or the natural curses associated with that natural laziness. I want to cover something in 2 Timothy and get a little bit more to the spiritual side of this. This will be the last thing I cover. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. I'm just going to read verses 5, 6, and 7. Because he's talking about all of these evil, wicked men that will come in the last days. And he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now we've covered this many times. It says in verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You ever wonder what that's all about? And why did he call out the women there? He's talking about just as there's those men who refuse to seek out and search out after God. When he says silly women, I looked that up to find out what he's talking about. That's all one word in the original language. It's a derogatory word. It means little or small, or in other words, less than what they ought to be. Less than what they ought to be. A woman who's not what she ought to be. That's what that speaks of, with the silly women. It's saying that these false teachers, these who have that form of godliness but deny the power of it, they prey on women who are less than what they ought to be. On silly women. In other words, those who refuse to learn the ways of God. I don't know if any of this is making sense to you. I hope it does. What I'm telling you is that spiritually, the false teachers have always preyed on women. Now you know that's true. Your charlatans, your fakes, your phonies, your wolves, the ones who come out as if they're preachers or spiritual leaders, they prey on women, and they always have. The ones they prey on, says silly women, again, it's those women who are less than what they ought to be. A woman who will commit herself to what God has said to be will not fall victim. So there's a spiritual danger in rejecting the role that God's given. There's a natural thing there that God hates with the laziness. But you can be spiritually lazy. You can refuse to seek out and search out after God your own self. and that's also rewarded in the negative. It's a danger, I guess. Anyhow, those are the two dangers I wanted to point out, one natural, one spiritual, at not following after this pattern that was set forth by God. Now, I know that this is not a jump up and down and shout and say amen and run the aisles kind of night. Some of these things that we study are a lot more dry, but y'all, there's some meat in there. I believe men ought to be men and women ought to be women, and we ought to study what we ought to be. Now, we've covered men and we've covered women, and we spent 2 weeks covering the marriage. I will move on next Wednesday night, Lord willing, and try to go into parents and children. And so we'll go into there, and as we cover the family, when we're through covering a family, again, it's been my intention for about a year now that after covering the family that we'll get into the church. I just feel like it's necessary for us to know the roles of the family very well and be grounded on those very well before we move into the church. And I hope tonight's been a help to you. And we're going to go ahead and let it go right here. And we'll close it out with prayer as we normally do. I'll just ask Brother Ronald, if you would you close us out with prayer?